Welcome to Fandom United, a pop culture podcast made by four opinionated geeks who live in a toy store. This is episode one, Captain Marvel versus Captain Marvel.
Hi, I'm Jelly.
I'm Rich.
I'm Aaron.
And I'm Othello. And by our fandoms combined, we're Fandom United. So I got a chance to check out Shazam this weekend, a special preview from Fandango.
And I wish I'd known
really
about that.
Awesome. But there's always going to be the comparison between Shazam, the original Captain Marvel, and Captain Marvel, Marvel's Captain Marvel. So I know Jelly and Rich, you guys checked that out. Why don't you guys tell us what you thought of it? Jelly, why don't you start and tell us what you thought of it?
Me start.
I'm interested because I'm the only one that didn't get to see it. I didn't
shame
know.
Shame on you.
We just have to kidnap you and take you to the movies.
I like Captain Marvel. I like that she's kind of like the girl next door. She's kind of like, you know, that chick you hung out with in high school, like a normal girl. She's not, and I love Wonder Woman, no offense to Wonder Woman, but that's kind of like a crazy ideal for girls to aspire to. And I think Captain Marvel is more of a normal looking girl.
So is that why you liked her? Is just because she wasn't super...
Oh. Too perfect?
Yes, it's just... Yeah. I was trying to choose my words
just,
carefully
know, like
in 2019.
Like a petite, athletic, you know, a girl who pretty much had, I mean, just all the stuff that she was going through. You know, it was so relatable for me, I think, rather than, I'm an Amazon and this is the, you know, I don't know.
So you liked her because she was average?
More of average and a little more attainable. She's, you know, somebody that I would have grown up with or
So she was just a normal person that got into an accident that gave her superpowers, essentially.
Isn't that how it always happens?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you know, how many times did you try to get bit by a spider before you punked out when you were a kid, right? I mean,
Twice.
See?
And I freaked out the second time when I went to the ER to make sure that I didn't get
I can't tell you how many times we almost killed ourselves trying to play Tarzan. I actually saw my cousin actually swing off a vine and it break and he landed on a fence post.
Oh,
oh my God.
Still managed to have kids. But anyway. Rich, what do you think about Captain Marvel?
Okay.
True story.
So, I waited to go see the movie because I didn't want to give dollars to opening weekend just because me and Bree don't see eye to eye because I'm a white dude and, you know, she went on this whole rant against, you know, white dudes, white guys weren't allowed to interview her for the press tour.
There was
on
some
this
politics
and,
involved, yeah.
She's very much a feminist, which, you know, I'm okay with people, you know. Jelly, I would say that you're going to be more liberal than I will, and I could see stuff coming out that from that. Mm-hmm. And I don't have a problem. That doesn't affect our friendship because we've got that friendship. Yeah. If somebody's just, like, spewing hate on me and they don't know me, I'm like, okay, yeah, I don't need to, you know, I don't need to be around that. So I was really worried just hearing all the stuff that was coming out that it was going to be so agenda driven that I wasn't going to be able to just enjoy it for the movie. I don't go to movies, superhero movies, for politics. Mm-hmm. You know?
Fair enough.
Yeah.
And I just
and there were some.
And there are. And there's, you know, and there was there was definite feminist undertone to the setup for the movie. I mean, the first 10 minutes is her running to different scenarios of you can't do this because you're a girl. You're not a man. You can't do this. You can't be here because you're not a man. And
did you notice in the training montage, the flashback montage that all these movies have, that every time somebody told her no or every time somebody held her back or ridiculed her, it was a guy?
Yeah,
did you notice
every
that?
Time.
I noticed that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, to be honest, though, they sneak political things in all the movies.
Oh, no doubt.
They just try and put it under there so you don't quite notice it unless you really pay attention.
And I don't know that I would have seen it, but I wouldn't have. I probably would have went and saw the movie opening weekend had there not been all the press stuff that she's saying. I mean, literally, Brie Larson on interviews just ripping on white males and or white dudes, as she kept putting it. And I'm like, yeah, you know what? Not making me want to go spend money on your movie. I just, you know.
And she doesn't want you to. You're not who she's looking for.
And I get that. And she my even daughter, said that. Though, this movie was not made for you.
Which, and my daughter loved it. My 9-year-old daughter was like, and I asked her why. Because I left the movie. And I didn't, and not just for the politics. I just was like, meh. It's just a typical superhero origin story. I wasn't really blown away. The effects were great. Brie just... Politics aside, I wasn't a fan of her performance. I thought she was a little wooden, and she was hot and cold. Like sometimes she was kind of joking, kind of like a Tony Stark kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But at the time she was like super serious. And it was just like, you know, what's wrong with you? Drink some coffee or something. Like, wake up. So, but beyond all of that, I asked my daughter afterward if she liked it. Cause she tends to go to the movies with us and fall asleep. Cause she's like, I don't care, but she's too young to leave her right. home. So she sat up, she watched this one, and I said, babe, did you like it? She said, I loved it. I said, why? She said, because finally the girl got to be the hero.
So, and I'm cool with that. That's awesome that she had that. And I loved it for the kids that felt the same way about Wonder Woman. You know, mm-hmm. I'm not one of those guys who, like, well, a girl can't be the main character. You know what? I can really like a movie where it's got the girl as the main character and have no problem with it unless you're trying to tell me, you must like this movie because the female character represents blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Okay, now you just ruined it for me. Because now I don't get to just watch the movie and enjoy it. Now I got to sort through the politics of it.
And I will say that's a difference between Marvel and DC, because Marvel tried to make you think that this was the first, you know, female-led action movie, superhero movie, even though it wasn't. And the first by a female director, even though it wasn't. Because mm-hmm. Patty Jenkins and Wonder Woman already beat you to the female star, the female director trope. And they did it better, I thought, except for the ending of Wonder Woman. I thought Wonder Woman was a better movie.
I agree.
Because I didn't really feel like there was anything political in it. I was just enjoying the story.
Yeah.
And seeing that story of Wonder Woman told that had never been told before in a really human and relatable way.
Well, you know, and that was one of the things, too, looking at the comparison of how Gal presented herself when she was... doing the tour junket mm-hmm. for the movie, she's out there talking, and I mean, she was building up women and empowering young mm-hmm. girls to be, you know, this hero, and it was a very positive way that she was doing that. And mm-hmm. then when Brie came along a year later and starts doing it, it was all negative, and you know, just felt had that very leftist, you know, feminist, you know, I'm gonna punch you in the face because you're a man kind of feel. Well,
there's
to
a
it.
Difference between empowering through positivity mm-hmm. and empowering through negativity.
Right.
And I think that's what the two extremes were that we saw.
And that's really what it was. And if you go back and like look at, there's actually some good videos out there on YouTube that show the comparison of the two. Mm-hmm. And it was very telling when I saw it. When like it's like a 10-minute video and I watched it. I'm like, two totally different approaches. And I'm more of a positive person than negative, or motivated by positive than negative. And it's like, okay, I would much rather watch Wonder Woman than this. And I mean, overall, I enjoyed the movie. I thought it was a very fun movie. It's one I will still buy. And you know, I was not protesting it. I wasn't telling people not to go see it. Mm-hmm. I was leery of it. And I was just like, you know what? This is where you let your dollars talk. You know, mm-hmm. the biggest thing that they look at two sets of numbers, opening weekend and then overall what it did box office. And I'm like, you know what?
930 so far, 950 so far.
I'm not lending to opening weekend for them. I'll go see it the next week and I'll be okay. And then it actually took me, you know, a couple weeks before I got around to seeing it. But, you know, I'm glad that I saw it in theaters. It's a really good movie. I think anybody who goes to see it will enjoy it. But you know.
And it's getting close to a billion.
Do you think that they did that on purpose, kind of doing the opposite of what Wonder Woman did?
I don't think so.
I think a lot of that is...
That was more Brie Larson than it was.
That's just Disney her personality and who she is, and Disney PR just kind of letting her go. Saying, hey, just, you know, they're not giving her talking points. They want your star to be relatable. Just go out and be you. Well, that's just who she is.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's just, you know, you have to just, you know, accept the fact that that's just who she is.
Which the thing that concerned me about her being... the role that she is, because she's Captain Marvel. Marvel being the operative word in that name.
Right.
She is the new heart of Marvel.
Ten movie deal.
When when they introduced her, they were going to, they announced her, hey, this is Captain Marvel. She is going to be the new Tony Stark. She is carrying the next phase forward as we phase out the old cast. And she gets up there and you could tell, I mean, she just had attitude like, I am it. And it's like, wow, nobody knows who you are yet. Don't be doing that yet. Come up humble. You know, that's the thing I loved about when Mark Ruffalo came out as Incredible Hulk. Yeah. That he was announced at Comic-Con, you know, on a panel where everybody knew everybody on that stage except for, hey, isn't that the dude from 13 going on 30? You know, what was the name? What else was he in? And he came out just kind of like, I don't think I'm supposed to be up here. And it's not too late. You guys can still replace me. Yeah. I mean, and he was just like always just looked like he didn't feel like, I don't know that I belong here with these people. I don't know that I'm worthy.
He still plays that, too. He does. He does that because they were doing, like, the giveaways for the Endgame, and he did a viral thing, and he totally played it like, I'm not with these guys. I'm stealing the hammer. You guys are going to get
it. Stole Chris's Hemsworth hammer from his trailer. Yeah. He's like, it's signed by the entire cast. Chris was going to take it home because we're done filming, but I took it. So I'm going to the airport right now. We're auctioning it off. And it was for charity, but he was really playing it. And it was just like, I watched the video and I knew it was a work, but I thought it was funny. Because I was like, I can honestly see Ruffalo stealing the hammer out of Hemsworth's trailer.
We'll be right back after this.
I actually personally know somebody who used to work for him.
For Ruffalo?
Yes. Yes. And she's just like, he is the coolest dude ever. He's probably like one of my greatest employers.
That's good to hear. So. That's good to hear when you can see someone be one way on screen. Oh, and here's a real life. Yeah. Like, oh, good. He's being genuine.
No, he's not being fake. Yeah, she really regretted, like, you know, that job's over. So sad. But she got to travel around the world, you know, follow him on sets and stuff like that. And she's just really lucky, and she's like, guess who I work for now? And I was like, no way.
Nice.
That's awesome. And she's just like, it's just one of the greatest jobs. He's such a good guy.
I wish she still had that job, because then we could go see Endgame.
I know. Like,
and we would have got to go early.
And we would have got to go early.
Nice, right?
Like, you know, I'm just saying, Uncle Brother up. Nice. So, moving from, and unfortunately it's an inevitable comparison, from Marvel's Captain Marvel, to the original Captain Marvel, which is now named Shazam, and I have a really hard time saying it. I have a really hard time not saying Captain Marvel when I'm talking about Shazam. Did anybody get a chance to check that preview out? So, I saw the article, and it was like, oh, Fandango's doing this preview thing. And I was like, ah, that's not real. So I looked it up in the app. I'm like, oh, holy crap, that's real. And there's probably no tickets. Oh my God, there's tickets. I bet I can't get 5 seats. I got 5 seats. We're going to the movies, kids. And so we hopped in the van and went to go see Shazam on Saturday.
Wow.
You guys are going to love it. It is a blast. I would just give a spoiler-free review. It is a great movie. It's full of hope. It's more about family and coming together to solve a problem together than it is about one individual.
I like that.
And I love that. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot of fun. It's lighthearted. It's colorful. They've removed
a DC movie with colors?
Yeah, so it's great. A complete anti-Man of Steel is what you're saying.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Complete.
Take notes, Ben.
I'm trying to think of what else to say about the movie that doesn't really spoil it.
I've always loved Zachary Levi. Like
I haven't watched a lot of him. I didn't get on the Chuck bandwagon when it was on.
I loved Chuck.
It makes me want to. The movie's so good. He was so good in it. I want to go back and watch Chuck now. That's how good he was in this movie. And the kids are phenomenal. That the kid that plays his best friend, I want to say his name is Asher, Freddie Freeman, is hilarious. He's carrying a lot of the comedy for the movie throughout the film. Hmm. And it's just a really sweet film. And my kids, when we left, they were like, so when can we go see that again? Huh. And I said, well, that was a one-time thing. It'll come out in April. And they were like, can we go see it opening night? I'm like, you've already seen it. Like, we know. They can't wait. So hurry up and have that kid so you can be out of the hospital.
Okay, wait.
Before, because the movie comes out April 5th, so you have April until 5th. The 3rd ish? Spit that kid out.
Not so to you rush can be out of the hospital anything.
And go to the movie.
I can go to the movie pregnant.
Not that pregnant.
Why?
I don't know. I don't trust you. April. You might. Maybe you might pull the, you know, pull the ripcord and all of a sudden.
That'd be a hell of a story, though.
Yeah, but then like, it ruins the movie, because now it's like, well, can't we just hold it?
And not everyone. Just for you.
Yeah.
30 other like, people.
Cross your legs, lady. We're trying to finish the movie. Like, why are we doing this?
But they'll remember that movie forever.
Yeah,
they like, remember the movie.
Right.
But they'll remember the lady who what happened in the movie.
Exactly, yeah. Remember when we missed, like, the best parts of the movie because some lady decided to have a baby? So, you know.
See, now, my son was complete opposite. Like, I've been trying to convince him to go see it. And he's a total nerd like me. And he's into video games, he's into comic books, but for some reason, he just doesn't want to go see Shazam. I was like, you're going to enjoy it. I'm going to take you to see Shazam.
I was always, as a kid, when everybody else was Team Superman, I was Team Shazam. I was Team Captain Marvel. Always have been. And I, as a old school fan, I loved that movie. Loved it. And one of the things I loved best about it was when the movie was over, there was a guy a couple rows behind us, and he was there with his son, no older than 4 or 5. And the credits finished rolling, and the kid stood up and he goes, "Shazam!" Like he expected the change. And we were all looking at him like, "Yep, we feel you." And we all smiled at him and laughed. And we're like, "Yeah, that's how we feel."
Aww.
The dad and the kid are behind us as we're leaving the mall, and the little kid has his dad's hand, and he just keeps jumping up, "Shazam!" Jumping in the air with his little fist, aww, yelling, "Shazam!" And I'm looking at the dad, and he's like, I'm like, "No, brother, I think it's great."
Yeah.
Because I'm expecting the lightning to hit one of us. This is awesome. Because they did something that hasn't been done since Superman 78. They made a little kid, like they got that little kid and captured his imagination. And now that little kid probably wants to go home and get a Shazam cape on. And he's running around somewhere with a towel tied around his neck yelling Shazam all day. Mm-hmm. Probably driving his dad nuts. Mm-hmm. But it was super cute for me at the moment because that is something that they managed to do, is capture a child's imagination.
Right.
And that is why I think that is going to be a stellar movie. And if that is what DC is putting out going forward, Marvel's in trouble. Disney is going to have a problem because they're not going to run roughshod all over DC anymore and be the only superhero game in town.
There's also going to become a point where people become tired of the Marvel movies, where it's going to become burnout.
Yeah, no.
Let me take issue with that. Because, I mean, just being here in the store, I get people come in, and they talk about that, like, oh, well, you know, they're doing too many superhero movies. People are going to get, you know, tired of it. They'll have superhero fatigue. And I don't think that that's the case. I think that it's been... Fanboys have gone so long without having good superhero movies. I mean, the 90s, yeah, we had the X-Men and Spider-Man and stuff like that, but they weren't great movies. They were pretty okay movies. We're getting good stories. We're getting good, you know, effects. I mean, they're believable movies for the most part. You know, at least the Marvel stuff is. And it created a new genre of film. Whereas, you know, before people would like, oh, I like dramas. Oh, I like romantic comedies. I like comedy, you know, slapstick, whatever. This is now a new genre, and it's meeting a need for people who love this stuff and are wanting more of that. I'm never going to get tired of going to see superhero movies. Every time they come out, I will probably be in line to go see it, even if it's a character that I don't... Umbrella Academy. I knew nothing about it, and I'm like, oh, you know what? I'm going to check it out just because I know that, you know, it's got a fandom. Wow. Fantastic. Changed my life. I was so excited when I watched that. So I don't see it ever being something. It would be theirs to lose that fandom. It's there for the taking. They have to do something to set it up. Now, here's what concerned me about the next phase of Marvel is everything that Kevin Feige came out and said that, hey, going forward, this is going to be a different phase mm-hmm. of the Marvel Universe. There's going to be more representation and
more diversity. Yeah.
Everything that he said is like, okay, we're getting ready to go into a politically correct Marvel Universe.
I think there will be a lot of politicization.
So there's going to be a lot of political things driving the stories.
But you got stuff coming up too, like Fantastic Four is going to be super hot.
Yeah.
When they finally cast that, X-Men is going to be huge.
Right. They'll do good as far as getting people in, but okay, Star Wars is a big brand, and Disney. Disney led the narrative on, it's Star Wars fatigue. People are tired of it. We put too much out too soon. No. You put stuff out that people didn't want, and it was very politically driven. Kathleen Kennedy was doing the same thing that I was afraid that Brie Larson was going to be doing for Captain Marvel. Mm-hmm. Because, personally, I think that Kathleen Kennedy and her cronies were what destroyed that. And like, no, we're not making this for white men anymore. We don't care if you like it or not. We're making the movies we want to make. It's like, wow, you just crapped all over
your fan base
that's carried it for 40 years. Yeah. And I talked to a lot of people about Star Wars. I've got a Star Wars logo, or Star Wars inspired logo for my store. And, you know, a lot of people think that that's all that we do because there's a definite heavy Star Wars theme in here. And people come
Except
in
for
and
the
like,
people that thought it was an adult toy store. But
don't. I wouldn't mind a movie that has a female lead. Mm-hmm. It doesn't bother me. I had no problem with Rey being it, but it was just like all the stuff that went with it. And hey, no, we're going to make it to where this is all you get. It's all Disney princesses all the time now.
Right.
And that's not it. I mean, there was an ensemble to the original element. You had a princess, you had, you know, the hero, you had the scoundrel, you had, you know,
You made me just think of something. We have to go back and look. Did Fox put out Alien? Is Ripley a Disney princess now?
Whoa.
Yeah, actually, I think
I gave our princess to her face.
No. I mean, you know, you talk about OG female badass in a movie.
Right.
Ellen Ripley is the template. And then, of course, Linda Hamilton followed behind her with Sarah Connor. There's no problem with them. With a woman leading a movie. I have no problem whatsoever with it. There's another great movie out there. It's not a superhero genre movie, but there's a great movie out there that Zoe Saldana did a while ago called Colombiana, where she's a hit woman. Love that movie. Love that movie. If you haven't seen Colombiana, you'll love it. If you like Zoe, you'll love that movie.
Doesn't love Zoe.
Yeah, with her little chicken bone self. She's just like this big. She's just the littlest...
I think where you're going, I mean, yes, okay, political stuff aside, I think also we're getting to that age where producers, writers, whatever, they're trying to produce a product. Like you said, the stuff from the 90s, whatever. But I think they know now, well, and effects are so much better. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean... I look at the old Jurassic Park and I'm like, I see all the lines and effects are better, writing is better, and I think they're striving more. And it is difficult what they do. It's so much harder to entice people, but that's what they have to work on. You know, the storylines, you know, good production, special effects, all of that kind of stuff. They really are taking that into account. And it's kind of like when you guys said before that, you know, Ryan Reynolds took Deadpool under his wing and he's kind of like, he really is a part of that whole production and made that character what it was. That's, we're finding people who are more passionate about making the movies like that, you know? So I think, especially our generation, right? Most of the people producing this are
our age. Or a little younger.
And so
it used to be, you had to hide that you were a fan of this stuff, and now it's like,
now you get tattoos. Yeah, you get tattoos.
Sure, boys are cool.
Sorry, I didn't mean to.
No, that's cool. I mean, but I think where the 90s kind of failed us, and they were kind of like trying to streamline technology and stuff, and it's still kind of that. I mean, you look at even where the internet came from when we were in high school compared to now, you know, what the technology has done. And I think, our generation isn't stupid. You know, I mean, okay, yeah. Some of us. But, I mean, we're looking at, yeah, we want to make a better product. And we, of course, all of these people want to make money. And you're not going to do it with a crap product. You know, not everybody can get away with it like Doctor Who.
You know? Oh, you know what? On that note.
Shot across the bow.
Yeah, I think you're trying to take a shot at me personally right there.
No, I love Doctor Who. I love Doctor Who.
I like that you can acknowledge that it's not good, even though you like it.
I'm just saying. But, okay. The storyline, yes. The special effects,
Hey, seeing the strings on the spaceship are a part of the charm.
Oh, yeah. Hey. Oh, definitely.
But I mean, still, like, you know, there's definitely you've got that really great campy storyline going for however many generations of this, and you can and it's known for it anyway.
Now before we run out of time, okay. I hate to stop you, but before we run out of time, see, and you're drinking water and you're pregnant, and that's why I said it. Are you going to be able to even sit through Avengers Endgame?
Okay,
we're talking 3 hours. There's no way. 2 minutes.
There's no way.
Without a pee break. Are you going to be able to
do 3 hours? Endgame comes out when?
Does it come out right before I'm supposed to?
Yeah, right before that baby's using your bladder as a trampoline.
I put this out to all of you because I've known about this app for years. Years. You all need to download Run Pee. It's runpee.com or whatever it is. Anyway, find the app and it tells you when to pee during a movie. Now, granted, you probably have to wait until after opening weekends, but it has saved my life so many times. I had to pee during Captain Marvel. I did. I went during the halfway pee time and I had plenty of time when I came back. But I'm just saying, it's excellent. It's totally worth it. Run pee.
All right, and on that note, I'm going to close it off for tonight. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week. From all of us here at Fandoms United, F you. Have a good night.
Thanks for hanging out with us. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast. Leave a rating and review. Only if they're good, though. You can also subscribe to our YouTube channel at Fandom United. Until we meet again, remember, tell them F you.